Lord. I appreciated so much what you said and just the analogy. But I really like what you said about how it's we. And I think that's such a biblical concept in teaching. It's we who do the healing, you know, the power that God gives us. It isn't just us as individuals. I mean, that's why the body, the Holy Spirit was given to the body of Christ. I appreciate what God is doing for you. I appreciate the healing gifts he's given you. I affirm you in that. I appreciate the word that you share with us today. We're not all the same. We don't all have exactly the same gifts. But we need people like Frank. We need people like all of us. Right? We all have different abilities, different gifts, and we work them together to be the body of Christ. Amen. And I appreciate what you said, too, that you're willing to teach. I think that's what we should be doing. If you're a teacher, you should teach other people to teach. If you are, you know, if you have a gift in the Spirit, you can maybe encourage other people with the same gifts. Maybe we'll be able to see more of that happening. And I say that because we need this here. We really do. We need the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not going to overcome the streets of Red Deer without the working of the Holy Spirit, without real healing, without real changing in people's lives. And I said it, you know, many times, and maybe we don't understand, or maybe I don't get it all completely, but that's okay, because it's not given to me, it's given to the body. And we just say to God today, God, just do what you do, God. Work in the body, work in your people, give us the gifts, let the signs and wonders follow the truth. That's what happens. The word needs to be proclaimed truthfully, not half truth. Has to be the truth. And the signs and wonders will follow. So appreciate that. I'm just asking now if you just pray for me as I bring you. Say amen. I can remember being in grade 4 and 5 and 6. 4 years from that. And getting a report card that consistently said, family is a dreamer. And in those days, that was a bad thing. Well, thank God that Frank confirms that it's okay to be a dreamer and to see the, you know, just to see those dreams, that it's okay to dream, and that God renews and inspires us again, and captures the dreams that he has for us. Isn't that a cool thought? That God has a plan for you. He's got a dream for you. He's given you gifts. He's given you abilities. And he just wants to see those original seeds that he planted in you a long, long time ago, to see them grow. So you become the man or the woman of God before you. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat here that there's going to be an opportunity for healing after this service. And things are going to go well. This is working out. I'm going to ask that a couple of leaders, because I really believe that this needs to come through leadership. Maybe Lennon Hidley will be up here at the end. He's going to tell you what's happening first. And maybe if Lorraine and Chris, if you guys could just be up here. If you need healing today, there's going to be an opportunity for that. You may need to be healed from maybe a sickness, maybe a demonic spirit, maybe an addiction. I don't know. But listen to what God says today, this word. And if there's others here who feel like, you know, that you have that gift, you have the ability to be used by God as that instrument of healing, as we said earlier, it comes through you, it comes through us. And it's okay to stand around our leaders. Our leaders are important, because we need to have that leadership that prays over people and that others are supporting them and are standing behind them. Amen. Today we're going to deal with a hard question. And I'm a little bit nervous to talk about it, but I know that God wants me to address it. And it's the question, why is it that miracles don't always come true? Why is it that our prayers don't always happen? Why is it that the things that we need, you know, that sometimes they just don't happen? That's a hard question. It's a hard question. Why is it that the signs and wonders aren't what we think they should look like? Or what, are we doing something wrong? And, you know, there's a lot of discussion that happens about that. There's a lot of books that are written about it. There aren't a lot of sermons that are preached on it, because you kind of put yourself out there. I probably have every, today has the potential where I can probably be able, I think I'll be able to offend you all equally. But I don't mean to. I don't want to offend you. But I want to look at God's word today, because I really believe this is what needs to be spoken. We need to look at God's word and see what God's word says about healing. And I am, you know, you got to know, if you've never been here before, you got to know that I believe in healing. You got to know that I believe it's so vital, it's so important in this ministry. You got to know that I'm praying for revival like many of you. you got to know that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be unleashed upon us and see the gifts move. But I got to be honest. Sometimes there's this nagging question. I think you got to ask this if we're going to be honest. You've got to ask this sometimes. Why didn't it work? What's going on here? Why sometimes is it not happening? And so we go back to Luke 5 today, where we looked at last week. We'll start with that. Luke chapter 5. We look at the story about a man who was a leper who was healed by Jesus. I believe that what God's word can teach us is that we can see what did work, you know, and why it worked, and we can learn from that why sometimes it doesn't happen in our lives. And what might be lacking. You know, we get into these discussions, and sometimes the discussions are, well, it's because, you know, you just didn't have enough faith, or maybe it's because God isn't big enough, or he's not strong enough, or he's not listening. You gotta call out louder or longer to God. We get into all these kinds of theological answers that a lot of times aren't very helpful. We read today in God's Word, and I just pray today that God's Word will speak. Story about a leper. And I guess before we read that, because some of you weren't here last week and because it's pertinent, remember what happened last week. Okay, let me just tell you the story. Just before this, the disciples are out fishing because Jesus says, go out and fish. And there's these big nets, and they get so filled with fish that they can't even get them into the boat. Anyone remember this from last week? That's encouraging to hear that there's seven of us who remember this today. And that the whole point of last week was that we need to be in partnership, that we need to be in unity, that it's a net we're bringing into the boat, and that it takes everyone to pull in the same direction. We're not going to get that net full of fish into Jesus' boat, into the right boat, into the kingdom boat. We're not going to get that in unless everyone is holding on and everyone is getting their back into it and everyone is pulling to get that net into the boat. And our problem today is that we have a fishing pole mentality instead of a net mentality. Let me explain what I mean by that. I remember one time fishing in a boat with about four or five of us, a couple of my kids were along. Now you might even remember this because he was there. And we were fishing in a boat and, you know, you go along in a boat and all of a sudden, one of the rods would hit, and it was kind of like, first man up gets the fish. You know, you run, I got it. It's mine, my fish. Leave it alone, my fish. That's fishing pole mentality. It's very individualistic, it's very selfish. And it's really kind of descriptive of where the church has been a lot. These are my converts, these are my people, it's my name on the building. Instead of that net mentality, I believe that the power of God is in the net. Not in the fishing rod. That the harvest is in the net. And that the whole point of that, and I think it's such an astounding point, is that to bring in the harvest, to bring in the kingdom of God, you got to be partnerships. Partners, I should say. Twice. Twice we're told that Peter cried out to his partners. And he gestured to them. And like I said, I don't think last week he did this. You guys come over the nets full of the dripping. Oh, it was coming over, guys! So James and John, get over here. The net is full and the fish are all falling. Yes, help us. Help us. Man, that's what the church needs to be today. We need to have that net mentality where we're working together. And it's not your fish or your fish or your fish. These are fish of the kingdom. They belong to the king. We work together. It doesn't matter what the name is on the side of the building. Now, I'm going to just give you a even before we've read, I'm going to give you the first point. I wasn't planning on it. But here's the first point. You know, one of the reasons why miracles aren't happening, one of the reasons why we're not seeing those changes, we're not seeing the healing, we're not even seeing the conversions that I believe that God wants for us to see, is we just aren't working together. We're just not partners in this. We're fishing with a fishing pole instead of with a net. And if it's true that the signs and wonders are going to follow the harvest, they're going to follow the preaching of the gospel. And that's what the Bible says, right? That the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes on the wings of the truth, right? It's because of the truth of the gospel, the Word and the Spirit, when they work together, then the signs and wonders will follow. Doesn't it also make sense then that if we're not together, if we're not working together, if we're so individualistic and selfish and we're building our own kingdom, doesn't it make sense that sometimes it isn't going to work when we're praying for people to be healed, when we're asking
when we're expecting the signs and the miracles and the power of God in the nation. It's because we're not getting along. We're not partners. Amen? Okay, let's read the story now. Okay, well, I'm not done. The man with leprosy. I love this story. Here we go. It's in Luke 5, verse 12. And while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered. Look at that. He just had a little bit of it. It wasn't just on the tips of his fingers. No, he was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Thank God, the power of God. And Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing. Do this as a testimony." And yet the news about him, Jesus, spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Do you understand that? The story is of a leper. Jesus is beginning his ministry. They've just come from the lake where the nets have been filled. And he's moving through Galilee. As a matter of fact, we're not told this in Luke, but we're told in Matthew and Mark that there's a large crowd there, okay? It's exactly the same story in Mark and Matthew. Large crowd was there, and a leper comes, and he says, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I'm willing." I want to say a few things this morning, and here's the first one. This is where we might be getting controversial. I already said one thing. So the first reason why sometimes signs and the wonders are stifled, or maybe they aren't manifesting themselves the way that God really wants, or not moving in the power that God has given us, such amazing power. The first reason is because we're just not getting along. We're not really partners. And it takes partnership to see the full power. Okay, you got that one so far? Here's the second. Second reason why sometimes your prayers aren't answered, or sometimes the miracle doesn't take place, needs to take place is because you don't need it. No, you're going to believe it. You need it. You try to. First of all, I want you to see that the leper here needed Jesus to heal him. He didn't have any other choice. There wasn't any other alternative. This was his last cry of despair. You get that? We all understand that, right? No one else could do anything for this man but Jesus. He needed to be healed. We don't always have that same desperate need when we think we need to be healed of something. Let me give you an example. I met a man, I know a good friend, but I met him again this week. And he's a diabetic. And about 3 months ago, he's a Christian brother, and I've worked with him for lots of years in construction. And he was diagnosed with diabetes. 3 months ago, and he needed to get healed. But it did, you know, people prayed over him, they laid hands on him, they anointed him with oil, he wasn't healed. I saw him this Wednesday, and I mean, he looked like a different guy. He was skinny, and I said, "Brad, you look good, what's going on?" He said, "Well, I went on a diet, and I started going to the gym, and I don't have diabetes anymore." You get the point? Okay. You see, sometimes we want God to do the easy thing. We want Him to give us the quick fix. And God goes, "You know what? Go to a gym. Change your diet." This is, some things are within our ability to change. Some, not everything, but some things in our lives, we have the ability to change those things. And God may say, "I would not be a good father if I just did this." There's lots of examples. A lot of people have financial struggles. Wouldn't it be great if God just dropped a $10,000 bill into your Visa account every single month? But honestly, what kind of a God would he be? Right? What kind of, would he really be a good father? Would that really be a good gift? I know some of you go, "Yeah. Man, would that be a good gift?" God, I have financial difficulties. But I'm not willing to cut up my credit card. I'm not willing to curb my sin. What I want you to do, God, is do a miracle for me. I want you to just take it all away. The Bible says that God gives good gifts to his children. And that may not be a good gift. What kind of father would he be if he just cleans up our messes all the time and he doesn't hold us accountable? Or he doesn't hold us responsible? Here's a revelation. God holds you responsible. He doesn't want to do things for you. He wants to do things with you. He wants to walk alongside of you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And if he just cleans up the messes, then he's not really being a very good father. And sometimes we cry out to God for things that we have the ability to improve, even lifestyle decisions or things in our lives that we can make better just by making better choices. But I'm not going to talk the whole morning about this, but I think it's an important point that not everything you cry out to God for you need. But the leper did. Let's get that clear. He needed Jesus. This was his last hope. Jesus was his last hope. So really what the Word of God, I think, is saying is that miracles will follow need. God is not going to give you something that you don't really need. Yeah. No more than a doctor is going to take out an organ that really doesn't need to be removed. God isn't going to touch you unless it's something you absolutely need him for. There's no other option. No one else but God can make this happen. You say, God, I need you to touch my marriage. I need you to change my marriage. I need you to do a miracle here. Maybe he's saying, what you really need is to stop looking at porn. What you really need is to stop fighting and being so selfish. If your problem isn't your marriage, your problem is the other thing. That you have some say over. That you can control to some degree. Maybe, you got a cough. God, I got this nasty cough. God, I got this nasty cough. He says, well, maybe you should go. Right? We want the quick fix. Honestly, that's who we are. We want the quick fix. We want God to just do what God can do. And you know what? You don't really, if that's true for you, you really don't want God. You want the Wizard of Oz. That's exactly what the Wizard of Oz did. The Wizard of Oz gave the straw man and the tin man and whatever the other guy was, he gave them what they already had. No, you've already got courage, straw man. No, it's a good line. You've already got courage. You had it all along. There you go, right? You always had it. You always had it. That's not God's miracle. God is not the Wizard of Oz. He doesn't give us what we've already got. He gives us what we really need. So ask God, by all means, ask God what you really need. Secondly, ask God. I think what happens here in this story, and not doesn't matter what I think, what happens in this story is that the leper, the man with leprosy, really cries out to God. One of the reasons we are not receiving the miracles that we need in our lives is because we're just not asking. We're really not. This guy got on his knees. Read how Luke describes it. He got his face to the ground. He put his face to the ground and he cried out to Jesus. He said, Jesus, if you're willing, you will cleanse me. That's asking God. We tend not to ask. I'm okay. You want a miracle? You need a miracle? No. No. Let's just have it today. No. Let Jerry have it. No, I'm okay. I'm fine. Don't bother me. Don't dare to ask. What does the Bible say? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Why aren't you asking? Maybe you're not getting the miracle that you need. It's because you've got your hands in your pockets, and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you just aren't going to ask. You don't want to be that old. There's something conspicuous about asking. See that? There's something. You're out there when you ask. You're kind of like you're naked. Kind of like the leper. Go, God, I need you. And that asking is such an important part of what's going on. because the asking is the faith. It's the faith that comes from me. God, I need this. God, I cry out for my kids. God, I've got cancer. I need you to take it away from me right now, God. I cry out, and I'm not afraid to ask. God, I'm an alcoholic, and I don't want to put my mouth to that bottle, not even one more time. And so I ask you, God. I ask you. I plead with you. I get on my knees. I put my face in the dirt. And I ask you, God, to heal me. That's asking. And without asking, there's no faith. Jesus said, you have not. Because what? Because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You need to ask it, God. We need to not be afraid to ask. We won't receive if we don't ask you. When it says ask and you will receive, if the tense is a present imperative, which means it's an ongoing asking, and it's a prayer. Ask the same word for prayer. It's persistent. I'm going to keep asking, God. I'm going to keep bringing it to you. I'm going to ask. I'm going to pray. I'm going to persist. It's tough to be conspicuous. You know, and I think a lot of us, we grow up that way. I don't want to be the one asking. In a little while, I'm going to ask you to come forward for some prayer. I know some of you are going to go, well, not me. And we're going to walk out of here again without getting the miracle that you might need or get the prayer answer that you need to have answered. Because we just don't want to be front and center. We don't want the spotlight on us. We don't want to ask. We need to think today about how he's forgiven us that leper. Luke gives us a really detailed description of what happens in the story. That's typical of Luke. You know, one of the things we should be thinking about when we hear this story is, what in the world was that leper doing in the crowd? Did you think about that when we read it? Wait a minute. There's a leper, a guy with leprosy in the crowd. What's going on here? Lepers are supposed to stay in their own colony. They're supposed to be crying out from 100 yards, unclean, unclean, stay away from me, I'm unclean. This guy is not one of these kind of lepers. Here's a guy who's in the crowd, and he comes to Jesus. Can you imagine how conspicuous he was? He must have been going, what is going on? What's he doing here? He can't hide. His fingers were probably already down to the bone, and his nose was probably already turned inside out. He had the disfigurement of leprosy. It was clear that he'd been a leper for a long time. He was conspicuous. Get this. He didn't care. He didn't care what anyone thought of him. He didn't care about the crowd. He didn't care about the people who pointed their fingers. No doubt he heard from people saying, leper, get out of here. What are you doing coming by us? Go back to your colony. He didn't care. There was nobody who was going to stop him from coming to Jesus and asking for his cleansing. Isn't that good? Didn't clap at that. I think that's amazing. There's nobody. Nobody was going to stop him from asking and getting the miracle that God, that Jesus God, that is him for his mercy. It's about asking. It's how we put our faith. It's how we put our faith into action. We get to ask. It's present imperative. We persist. We pray. We ask God. What do you need to ask God? And I challenge you today, in a few minutes, don't just walk out of here. Don't just stick out the doors again. Afraid to ask. You know what he says? He said, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to those who, what? He doesn't say, give good gifts to those who love me. He says, no, I know how to give good gifts to those who ask. Our part of this is to ask. Amen? Then the last thing, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, because I know I've talked about this not many weeks ago. One of the fascinating, amazing, truthful things about this passage about the man with leprosy, the thing I think is most astounding in the whole passage, is that this man was willing to have Jesus touch him. And I believe that Scripture says one of the reasons why we are we are not receiving the power, we're not receiving the wonders, we're not seeing the miracles that we need, because we don't want Jesus to really touch us. And that unless we're open to Him putting His actual hands upon us and touching us, unless we're really ready for that, that miracle doesn't happen. It's another one of the reasons. I'm giving you some reasons. Luke again makes it really clear what happens here. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But did you notice that Jesus doesn't say to him, I am willing, but please stay in the back corner. I can heal you from here just fine. He doesn't do that, right? What does Luke tell us? He says, I am willing. And he touched him. And he said, Jesus wants to touch you. Healing happens. We're open. It's not that creepy kind of touch. Remember I said it last time. It's not the creepy kind of touch. It's the touch of Jesus. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants you to know your love. He wants to remove others. He wants to remove. Because here's the hard part. Where Jesus wants to touch you is where you hurt. Where Jesus wants to touch you is where you are visibly in need. A lot of us, we do this. We reach this hand, we do this. I want to touch you. I want to heal you. I want you to be clean. I want you to be well. I want you to be whole. I want you to have peace. The only I can give, but it can't happen unless you stand there and let me put my hand on you. You let me touch you. You let me have a relationship with you. I am your Lord. We do this. That's Lorraine. Go ahead, touch Lorraine. You've done that before. She's fine with it. I'm not good with it. That's dirty. Just don't touch me. It's so hard. You know, remember, He wants to touch us where we're hurting. And that's a scary thing. I'm really hurting. I don't want to be touched where I'm really hurting. He wants to touch you where your disease is. He wants to touch you where your pain is. Maybe it's a pain from decades ago, and you don't want to go back there again. He says that's exactly where we need to go. We need to go back to that brokenness, back to what you used to be like, back to when you were 2 years old, and when your dad kicked the boxes. We're going back then. That's where the healing is. One thing that is absolutely clear, is that Jesus is coming. And He's not repulsed, this is great. He's not repulsed by your leprosy. He's not repulsed by your sin. He doesn't care, Robert. He doesn't care what your past is like. He doesn't care what you smell like. He doesn't. All that Jesus wants to do, He wants to give you to God. He wants to love you. He just wants to be your God. So today, if you're wondering, well, is He willing? What's the answer? Well, I truly believe it. There's a reason why Frank says He's there. There's a reason why this is happening. And it's time that we ask for it. It's time that we come with something that's a real need. That's a real need in your life. I can give you 100 examples. I don't need to, you know. I don't need to give you examples. Let's see if you do that. If you want your coffee, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works right now. Close your eyes and pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you're willing to touch us. Thank you that you are willing to cleanse us. That you're not repulsed by who we are. You don't get turned off by our history. You don't keep your distance because of the life that we used to live. there is nothing that we do, nothing that we've ever done that repulses you. And that your word teaches us right now and today that your heart's desire is to just lay your hands on us and to set us free and to heal us. And God, we want to come before you this morning with the things that we truly need you for. Things that no one else can heal. No one else can touch us. No one else will hear when we ask. I thank you, Lord, that you're just willing. We take that to heart today when you say, I am willing. God, we want to use this opportunity. And as we come for prayer, we pray, Lord, that the power of your Spirit would be evident. We pray that this will be about me, about the body, about us ministering and caring and praying for one another. God, because if it's powerful that one of us asks, how much more powerful do we all ask? Your will, God, if you decide to do that, I pray for your Spirit to draw us to have the courage and to come to us. You created Christmas. Let me relate to your character. Well, I'll be ready because I wanted to mention that next Sunday in the afternoon. Service of memorial for Lord and Mary, for their stillborn baby. So in the afternoon after the meal, we're having a meal together. I'm going to talk about that after church. We're going to get together for that. Just remember that. And now I invite you to come. Come for prayer, come for healing. Marie, do you have well? Okay. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Thank you, God. Don't be afraid to ask. That's it. Don't be afraid. Would you come up? Maybe you and Alfie can come up too. I think we need more people to pray. Thank you, God. Bye.
praise the noble name. Let Jesus touch you. Let him touch you.
No, not by might, nor even time, but by your Spirit alone. Healer of hearts, finder of wounds, lives that are lost. Land, heal every man. Praise the Jordan.
And pray, pray, pray.
No, not by mind, not even time, but by your Spirit. Healer of hearts, finder of wounds, life and love, restore. Go through this land, heal every man, praise your name once more.
Went out.
Not even time, but by your Spirit alone. Healer of hearts, finder of wounds, lives that are lost, restored. Lord, you command. Kill every man, praise your name, once more. Oh, through this land, kill every man, praise your name, once
more. People of prayer. If you have a gift to give, you want to join around with people and pray, just do that. Why don't we stand up? Can we all stand together? We want to conclude with a prayer. Those of you who are praying, just keep praying, just keep praying. Keep calling out to God. Join in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you're here. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you are a worker of miracles. We thank you that you are the God who heals us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are more than ready to put your hand out. Stretch it out and to touch us and to cleanse us. God, we pray that today,
there would be many people who are touched by you. For the glory of God the Father. For the glory of God the Father. That you receive all the honor and all the glory today, God. That we walk in victory and that we walk in freedom, God. And that no one here today will leave. No one here today will leave because they're afraid to ask. That they're afraid to be touched by you, God. But instead that we'll be ready to be vulnerable. And it's okay, Lord, that that what we do is very visible. We just stand before you and ask you, God, for what only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. Amen. Keep praying, just ministering to care. Let it rain.